morning, everyone. Oh boy, we are thankful for this day, and I see some faces, and I felt during handshakes that some of us are excited about that white stuff outside, and some of us could do without it, but either way, we are thankful for the great and wonderful day that we have to gather together and worship, and we just pray for safety for those that are traveling. And you know how that adage goes, right, that when it first snows, some people forget what it's like when there's snow, so we just ask for that safety and traveling mercies while we're here. We have any prayer concerns that we'd like to lift up or any moments of joy, we have our microphone. Guys, just put your hand in the air if you'd like to have us a prayer request on our behalf or a praise.
Yeah. I have a prayer. Hayden, my brother-in-law, he is actually running the Honolulu Marathon, and I think he did like 6 miles so far. Cheyenne's texting me as it goes on, but she's like, I'm so nervous, but he's doing well. And then we have a joy. My sister Bridget had a baby on Tuesday, Jonah Gerard, and he was 7'13", 22 and a half, and he is fantastic. She had complications after. We were quite scared, but she is fine now, so.
All right, celebration, yes. You said Jonah was the name?
Yeah.
All right. Blessing there. Did we have another over here? You know? Amy? Just, Amy, real quick, we can't hear you. If you put that up a little bit, sorry, I don't know if it's... Thanks.
I would like to ask for prayers for my older brother, Roger Opsummer. Roger is going to be having some extremely serious surgery on December the 26th, and he's not in real good shape, and he is in need of prayer. Please, thank you.
Amy, your older brother Roger on the 26th. Okay. Absolutely. Okay, anyone else? Stephanie, I think, did you raise your hand to Bert? We're going to come back. We're going to loop around. Do we have any on this side? Who gets it first? Monica, we'll go with you first.
I just had an email from a very close friend of mine. Her name is Marla, and she has just learned that she's going to need a kidney transplant. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to have her kept in our prayers.
And Monica, you said her name is Marla?
Marla.
Okay. All right. Stephanie?
I completely forgot. We need prayers on actually Saturday. Cheyenne and Hayden are coming home, and they'll be home for 2 weeks. So on Sunday, we will not be here because we will be waiting at the airport for them to come home.
All right. So they'll be back home next week then? All right. All right. Fantastic. No, that is a celebration, Joy. It'd be fantastic to have the family together. Anyone else? Carrie, front row. Well, we're making our way up there. For those of us in the last few weeks who have followed Melissa, prayers for Melissa's uncle, Roy. She's gone to the hospital right now. It's one of those moments when the doctors tell you to get the family together, so we just don't know if he'll be coming home from the hospital. So prayers with the family. Melissa, I'd really appreciate it.
We ask your prayers for Steve and Mary, seated right here in the front row, who were married in this church yesterday. May they have a very happy and warm life.
Yeah, so it's a blessing for those of us that were here. We're thankful that you're here celebrating with us. It's a great thing to see you both smiling 24 hours in. So, let's anyone else? Yes. Yep.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that at 5 o'clock tonight is our Christmas program, and you really, really don't want to miss it. And parents, if your children could be here at 4:30, that would give us time to get a little organized and run around and get all the, you know, get all the energy spent for just a few minutes so we can be re-energized for 5 o'clock. Okay. And then we're having refreshments afterwards, happy birthday Jesus cake and cookies, and we'll have a good time.
All right, absolutely, looking forward to that at 5 o'clock, and if you have a child participating, try to be here by 4:30.
Just going to tag on to that. Don't forget to bring your dozen cookies tonight, too, for the refreshments afterwards. So parents who have kids, bring your dozen cookies. Or if you want to just bring cookies, you're welcome.
The invitation for cookies is open to all.
Oh, Aaron just wants cookies.
We like to have a variety, guys, so you be creative with the variety. Anybody else? Let me see you back here. Karen? Oh, you got it.
I don't like that one.
I just want to remind everyone that next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the Deckerville Community Choir Christmas play, cantata program. Friday night is at 8 o'clock, Saturday night is at 7, and Sunday afternoon at 3. Please come. You'll enjoy.
Yes. They extend every year, right, because they need more performances for the community that wants to hear it.
Too many people, not enough room.
That's right. That's right. It's a great thing. So anyone else? Yes, Madison.
I would like to make a prayer for my grandmother. 2.5 months ago, my grandpa had passed away due to a massive heart attack. And he was just the loved one of the family. And my grandma has kind of turned more depressed than ever. And she doesn't want to come out of her home. She doesn't want to go anywhere. And she doesn't want to hang out with anybody anymore. And I just kind of want to send a prayer for her because it's not healthy that way.
Sure. Well, Madison, do you feel comfortable sharing her first name with us?
I do. Her name is Carol.
Carol?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely. We'll lift up your grandma, Carol. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Anyone else?
Yeah. 15. Oh.
It's an ice cream cone. Just treat it like an ice cream cone.
56 years ago, I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Best thing I ever did. I have a good communication with him and him with me. And he was so good, he saved everybody in my family, my wife, my daughters, and they've gone on to have all my grandchildren. They love the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we come to this season of Christmas, and I think of the God, the Almighty, Eternal Son got into a little seed and got into Mary and waited 9 months and came out to be born in a stable. The God of gods, King of kings, all God born. And Mary and Joseph had the privilege of laying next to him. What a wonderful thing to be born again and to truly feel the presence of God in you. Thank you.
All right, what a beautiful anniversary for us, yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, anyone else? Roger?
Boy, that's a tough one to follow up on. But I gotta say that Coach DeMont is normally here. Oh, there he is, by golly. And I would just like a round of applause for Coach and the wonderful job that he's done.
Coach, every year that you're literally here with us doing what you love to do, it just continues to add to our appreciation for what you've done in our schools and our community. Thank you. And you throw all of us when you realize that, everyone, when you sit in a different spot, you throw all of us because we're looking where you normally sit. So anyone else? No? Okay. Do we have any announcements that aren't printed in the bulletin? No? What about any birthdays? Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Heather? 15th? All right. So on the 15th, you'll be celebrating your 33rd birthday. All right. Anyone else celebrating with Heather this week?
My son, my baby. My baby is 19 this week, so my baby.
All right. 16th is Karen's birthday.
I'll be 34.
All right, 34, yeah. We are thankful for all the birthdays that we celebrate. Anyone else? Yes, Corbin? It's your grandma's birthday, Grandma Pam? Do you know when that will be? On Friday the 15th. Okay, wow, what a great week for birthdays. I think we're making up for lost time because the last couple weeks we haven't had many, right? Anyone else? What's that? Did Al Stone have a birthday? You're going to have a birthday this week? Donna's smiling. Are we doing this or? Oh, it's over. Oh. Yesterday, so now we're kind of going back to make sure we don't miss things, right? So, Al, we appreciate you having your birthday yesterday with us. 85. Wow.
And he's attended here all those years.
Anyone else? All right, well, we have plenty of reasons to sing happy birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you.
About anniversaries? Do we have any mid-December anniversaries? Bob? 35 today. Wow. Anyone else? We're going to lift up this song just for you then. 35, what do you know what anniversary that is? What gift does that mean? Isn't there a special gift on 35 that's supposed to be? Marilyn's like, yes, Bob, there is. There is a gift. There is a. Well, let's get off with the song, and then we'll let you go. Wow, 35 years, and that's today, right? Congratulations. All right. Anyone else? Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and hand things over to our choir to anoint this space to prepare us for a place of worship today. Amen. When we come to think of those times, would you please join me together for a moment of prayer as we ask for the Holy Spirit to anoint this sanctuary for us today. Almighty God, we gather in your presence today as we've done so many Sundays before. But Lord, today we come expectant of something unique, in a way that you will touch our heart in a unique way, in a special way that only you can. We'd ask for your Holy Spirit to go before us, to go beside us, and protect behind us. Lord, as we move forward as your hands and feet in this world, we just lifted up the words that Jesus has revealed in us. Lord, what a holy task. And we ask that we would live in your wisdom and your strength to fulfill that holy duty that we have. In this season, Lord, would you be glorified in all that we say and do that comes of the sacrificial time together. In Christ's powerful name we pray. Amen. All right, I would ask you to stand if you're able. And we'll sing number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. So please stand if you're able to stand. And we'll sing number 240, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. And as you find your seats, for those that were following along in the hymnal, we're just going to flip one more page over to 242. And as we find our seats, let us sing together, Love Came Down at Christmas, number 242. In this moment, as is our tradition, we light the Advent candles, and every week we have a different person or family come up, and so we'd like to invite the Johnson family to come up today and to light for us the Advent candle today, and you have a reading for us. All right, thank you.
This is the second Sunday in Advent. Today we light two purple candles. Last Sunday we lit the candle of hope. This Sunday we light the candle of love. One verse that many memorize and remember on this day is John 3:16. God so loved the world. Some people may not know the love of the other people. That make it harder for them to understand God's love. During the Advent we pray that we remember again God's gift of Jesus to the world and know that God's love for all people is the reason for the gift.
When we look at the second candle, we remember God's love. When we read the words of Scripture, we know of God's greatness and care. We remember God's love at Advent when we remember that God sent Jesus to us to help us know that God is living and just.
Isaiah 40:1-8. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
When we think of God's love, we might not always think of the words of the prophets. And this verse might not be one that comes to mind. But the image of God comforting people is a loving image. The image of God making the rough way smooth one of love. Let us remember when God's great love for us has comforted us, as well as how we can show that comforting love to others in need.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the words found in our Bible that help us remember your love and care. Help us see how we can bring God's message to the people we meet in our schools, at our jobs, and in our neighborhoods. Help us be the messengers of God's love for everyone. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you so much to the Johnson family for us today and celebrating with us. As they find their seats, let's sing together the first verse of What Child Is This, number 219, verse 1. All right, now it's time set aside for our children. We have our kids come up today, and if you haven't been with us for a while, or maybe it's been a little bit, we like to gather together with all of our young ones, our little energetic faces, and bring them up today for a special opportunity to celebrate with them and to pray together before Sunday school. All right, come on up. Yeah, there's room for everybody. Yeah. Well, and as we've come up today, how many of you have worked on your memory verse from last week? Anybody, any hands that we tried to do this week? It was kind of new last week, right? So we're trying to get used to it. Mm-hmm. Oh. And that's on your Christmas tree? Wow, well, that's a good one for us to remember, isn't it? That's your favorite verse? That's a good one to be remembered. For those of you that didn't hear, just like Miss Tammy read for us today, that was, for God so loved the world, right? And it's that moment, that first part of John 3:16, that's a good favorite verse to have, isn't it? Isn't that kind of simplistic? If we just remember that, I think we're already at first base, aren't we, of this relationship with Jesus thing. Well, we're going to continue to work on this season. We're going to look from that prophetic book of Isaiah from 61:1, and we're going to say this verse together, okay? But I want to say it again for you. Go ahead and follow along on here the words if you'd like, and I'll read it out loud. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone." I have a question for you. What's an example in our everyday lives, right, of good news? Does anybody have an example of what good news is? Yeah? So if you invite someone, right, like a friend over your house, and they say, yes, they'd like to come over, that's good news, isn't it? Because we get to spend time together. That's good news, right, when friends come over our house. Does anybody have an example of maybe not so good news? Does anybody have an example of not good news? Okay, so maybe kind of in the same way that it's good news if we ask our friends to come over and they do come over, it's a bummer and bad news if we ask our friends to come over and it's not a good time or maybe they're not home, right? So that's bad news. I know our let's ask the adults. See, it's a bummer sometimes we want to get together with our friends, right? And we just can't for a lot of reasons. Well, you know, the verse that we're looking at today talks about how exciting it is to know that God wants us to be messengers of good news, right? So isn't it kind of tough? Because when you get bad news, if your friends couldn't come over, would you go, guess what, everybody? My friends can't come over, and I'm kind of sad and lonely about it. That doesn't make sense, does it? That's kind of silly. Wouldn't it be something like, oh, man, our friends can't come over today. No, that doesn't make sense, does it? It was a little ridiculous what Pastor Matt did there, wasn't it? Right. There's a lot of things that play into that. It's difficult emotions, you know, isn't it? It is. Especially until we get cars and we can kind of help ourselves get to our friend's house, isn't it? And then, so, but if we had good news, right? Or let's just say sometimes, would this make any sense? Let's say our friends could come over and we said, yeah, our friends are coming over today. We're going to have lots of fun. Maybe have some snacks. That doesn't make sense either, does it? That's silly. We would tell everybody, guess what? We're going to have lots of fun and we're going to have snacks and we're going to watch movies and things like that. Jesus wants us to be so excited when we share this good news with the world. So could we remember that this time of year when it's Christmas time, that we need to be excited when we share this good news, right? Because Jesus arriving to us, right, is good news. And so God wants us to share how much Jesus means to us and how much Jesus means to this entire world. So could we be a little excited about it when we tell people Merry Christmas, we tell people how much Jesus loves us, right? We want to share with them good news. We want to be excited about it, right? They want us to be able to see our dimples and our teeth when we smile, right? How about we practice how we're going to smile with that? Can everybody show me a good smile about good news, right? That we smile and show us some teeth. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. You guys got any teeth? They haven't come in yet? No? There, yep, I see some. See some teeth, yeah? You don't have teeth either? Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe we'll talk about that in a future lesson, okay? So before we get too far gone, let us say this together. Those of you that can read, will you read off the screens? And we'll try to say this memory verse together. All right, 1, 2, 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone. Yes? It is kind of the same verse every single time for a few weeks in a row, right? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we planned it this way, huh? Let's go ahead and pray together so we can get you for Sunday school and get ready for our program tonight. Can we get our prayer positions? Let's go ahead and fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. And will you guys say these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for good news that makes us happy. And help us even in times when we don't have good news. Please bless our time in Sunday school today. And help us smile big, showing dimples and teeth. God bless mom and dad and everyone that's here today. Amen. All right, well, I certainly hope that we're a little bit louder tonight, right, so we can hear everybody. So let's go ahead and stand up. And who's going to, Ms. Erin, you have the flag so you can get somebody there to lead us out. Tegan's going to go. She's such our helper today, our kind of coach along lesson today. Go ahead and follow downstairs, guys. As the kids are finding their way downstairs, we are so thankful for their energy and their willingness to go along and even to hear Pastor Matt share the same scripture week after week with them. So we're thankful for that, their little voices. Now, something else that has really blessed us, the children are going to bless us, they continue to do so, especially tonight, but something else that has been a real blessing, and as we're drawing close to the end of the calendar year, we're stopping for the regular routine of sharing our stories, but we still have a few weeks left, and if you didn't get an opportunity or maybe something comes up in 2018 that you would like to share, Russ, can I go ahead and volunteer you that if anybody was interested or maybe knew of someone, heard of a story, to come see you and we'll work it out? But right now, Cheryl Strickler has something to share with us. She has a great story, and I'd just like to ask her to come up today and share with us her story, and I know that you'll be blessed in hearing it, as we have before. And Cheryl, I know this will also be a unique way to bless you from sharing that as well and God's faithfulness in your life.
October 4th, 2007, Michael and I were celebrating our 21st wedding anniversary. We had a phone call from the doctor. He had just had a complete physical for his CDL license. They found a mass on his left lung. My world stopped. That day I was so scared, numb, I just couldn't believe this was happening. I prayed, I cried. The Lord never left my side. We survived all the tests, biopsies that weren't done properly, fluid on the brain, the cancer went to his brain and then his pancreas. He had to have a shunt put in his head and to drain the fluid off his brain. Had a stroke, health source, had learned to walk and talk again. Driving, I'm not a city driver, never done it before in my life. I have a daughter-in-law that's just fabulous. She took me twice in my own vehicle and she made me write down landmarks that was familiar to me. Then she made me the third time do it by myself. I was ready. So I drove, it was in October 2010, to Saginaw Health Source. Got there, nothing, everything was fine. Didn't want to leave, it's hard to leave. So on my way home, I'm starting to think, where's my exit? Where is my exit? Oh no, what am I gonna do? Well, my cell phone rang. And I today still don't know if it was a man or a woman, but it was somebody that certainly knew the Stricklers. They knew the church. They knew my job. They knew Mike. They knew his job. And the next thing, I looked up, and I'm coming into Kingston. And it was like, how did that happen? Well, I know God was with me. And since that day, I know He's with me through everything. There isn't anything that I can't handle. I know there's times I wonder. There's been him having to go up to the facility, never being able to come home, having to accept that I couldn't pick him up anymore. That was probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole life. But I know I've got God with me, and I've got this fabulous church family, and I know I can get through it. God is good all the time.
Thank you, Cheryl, for sharing that with us today, and not only affirming the role that we all have and seeing the Lord even in some of those difficult times, we remind ourselves, right, the power of the Lord. And sometimes when things are overwhelming out of our hands, we can see the glory of the Lord shining the brightest. Thank you for that. Could we please stay in that moment when we think that the Lord is always present, never leaves our side? And when we think of that, Cheryl brought us to that moment. Could we just join together in saying the Lord's Prayer together when we think about the power and the majesty of God? Always there. Sometimes we don't see it because we might turn away or we might take a few steps away, but God is right there with us, never leaving us alone. Would you please join me as we say this prayer out loud together, the Lord's Prayer? Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Holy, 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 my God and my Lord.
Johnson family told us about the candle of love earlier, and now we're going to sing to you about the gift of love that God sent to the earth in the gift of one small child.
Thank you to our talented and willing choir to share with us that message and their gifts for us today. As they find their seats, what an amazing memory and reminding ourselves. Of course, they're singing of the Messiah, but how many of you heard that message and would be remembered or maybe even in awe of the thought of how a little child, a baby, can teach us to love and to a depth that we never knew was even possible? Do you know what I mean? That a baby would open up our capacity to love in ways that we sometimes can't even articulate and understand. And of course, it's obviously a bit different when we're singing of the Christ child, the arrival of the Messiah, but how precious is the gift of a child? And so it's interesting that we would see that. Would you agree in certain ways, and again, remember, this is separate from Scripture. This is just an illustration. But what do you think would happen if Christ arrived, if Jesus arrived as already a full-grown adult, right? So from the onset, Jesus would have been doing what he was doing in his walking ministry, as we read about in the Gospels. But how important that even though God's supernatural power allowed Mary to be pregnant and give birth to Christ, that Jesus experienced everything that we experience. That even though he was God in the flesh, there wasn't an express lane into ministry. It was being born of a family and showing them the precious gift that would be arriving in their place. And as we're looking into anticipation and prophetic words and things coming to be, knowing that nothing was done by accident, in this moment of looking, and I wanted to share this because so many things will center around the anticipation of the arrival of the Christ child, of the baby. And thinking from just a moment before we start with the scripture today, that Mary is very young and doesn't have a whole lot of experience really with life in general, right? I mean, she was very pious and had a calm demeanor and was very humble. But, I mean, she was still pretty young, right? She was pretty inexperienced with the ways of the world and that kind of thing. And so it's interesting in this moment that we were a little bit older, Melissa and I were a little bit older when we found out that we were going to be having a child, and I thought panic struck over us. Have any of you been like struck with this fear? I mean, it's good news, but then you're like, is this really going to happen? Am I ready? Will I read enough books? Will I do the thing? Are you sure I won't break their back when I pat them that hard? Waiting for a burp or something like that. I thought all these worries, yet here's someone that was younger than me, under all these circumstances, the arrival of the Christ child. What a heavy responsibility that we all have, understanding that we didn't carry that Christ child in our womb. We didn't care for the Christ child throughout their young infant years all the way till they were able to take care of themselves. But as we reminded ourselves in the scripture in this season, aren't we in a way bearers of this good news of the arrival of this Christ child to this entire world? Don't we still have a pretty heavy responsibility that is this overjoyed good news that we have, but isn't it also a little, it's up to us to share this news with the world and to represent it in a way where people would see Christ? Just as the choir shared with us this morning, God in us, revealed in us. Do any of you tremble a little bit with that heavy responsibility? It's a wonderful responsibility, and there's an anticipation for this time of year. And I'd like to share a few verses from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, chapters 1, but it'll be verse 5 through 17. 5 through 17. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Verse 6. Both of them were upright in sight of the Lord, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along and advanced in their years. Now once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to be the one to go into the temple of the Lord and light and burn the incense. Verse 10. And when the time came for burning of the incense, all the assembled worshipers were then praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar. And when Zechariah looked at the angel, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. But the angel responded in verse 13, saying, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is to never take wine or any other fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he will turn the hearts of their fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. He will do this to make ready a people prepared for for the coming of the Lord. In this moment, we can see the angel foretelling the arrival of another important child. Now, of course, this isn't the Messiah, but it's the herald, right? It's the process of preparing people to receive the Lord and the Lord's ministry. And it's interesting in Luke because Luke has such a perspective from his gospel account that it's always providing a way for us to see that the Lord may have come, right, in the covenant of the people, the Jewish people are holding a covenant for Israel, but what God is going to accomplish through Jesus is going to be open to the entire world. There will be no limits. There will no longer be a covenant people. Christ will come for all. And it's interesting in this moment because how interesting would it be, right, if we were to know so much information from an angel that, one, don't you think it's a pretty big deal that the angel tells you that you're going to have a baby? That's pretty groundbreaking stuff, right? This is literally God reaching into the world and anointing this moment. But we also see that there's some instructions here, right? The angel doesn't just come and lay this message at their feet, but there's also some instruction about the name and some guidelines of not being able to enjoy certain types of wine or fermented drink. And here's this moment when there's so much in a name, and we've talked about this so many times because there's a lot of meaning to names, and sometimes the Scripture gives it to us readily available, and sometimes it doesn't. But here's this moment when I want to submit to you this, because the angel said it's very important. You're going to have a child. It's going to be a son. And normally the naming would be up to the father, but the angel says, but you need to name your son this. And it's John. And in John, in Hebrew, there's a couple of slant meanings, but this is the gist of it, is that John means God's saving grace, or God has been gracious. How interesting is that when we hear this? Now, if we filled that into there, that the angel says, you will name your son John, which literally will be a representation of every time you say his name, and when you look into John's eyes, and every time John is witnessed, we would be reminded of God's plan and intention for John's life, that it would literally be God being gracious to this world. That's a lot in a name, isn't it? That's a lot in a name. Well, it's interesting, too, because in this moment, sometimes when we read this, we see, we know where it's going, we know it's a prophetic word, we know some things are coming to happen, but can we just pull that back a little bit so we can see a little bit of why this was important? Because Luke shares, the Gospel according to Luke shares these birth narratives and these opportunities to remind us that there wasn't any accident or coincidence. This was all foretold and for a specific reason. And so we see that Zechariah was a priest. And I hope we don't that we can look historically and understand that there were a lot of priests. I mean, there were thousands of priests. And so it wasn't just kind of a small gathering of people. I mean, there were by far more than would probably have standing room only in this place. And so when it says that they were on shift, or it was their division, it was their time set aside, typically in this day and age, there would be 1 week shifts. Okay, there would be 1 week where you're kind of on call as the priest for this holy duty. And that would usually happen 2, maybe 3 times a year, depending on the health of each of the orders. And so we see that so maybe 2, 3 times probably at the most of a year would Zechariah's division be called in to service, right, for this time at the holy temple, right, to be able to enter in and light the incense. So now we see how limited that is, right? I mean, you're talking thousands of priests, and then your division 2, maybe 3 times a year is here for this. And it says that Zechariah was allowed to have this honored position because of a casting of lots, right? A chance, and this is how they were selected. So there wouldn't be any type of political agendas here, or there wouldn't be any type of ranking. It would purely come down to chance. So wouldn't you agree that if there were thousands available and you only had a couple of opportunities throughout the entire year, be a pretty big deal if you were selected to go into the Holy of Holies, right? I mean, it would be a pretty significant moment that you would probably tell your family and your friends about. You remember that one time when I was selected to go into the temple, right? It would be that kind of story. And so here's this moment of all these things, all these situation scenarios that God wove into this place. And Zechariah finds himself in this place. And it's interesting because I would submit to you this. When you read that scripture, you hear it. Now, when Zechariah has to go into the temple, right, and there's the curtain there, and he comes into the temple to light the incense, the angel says, God has heard your prayer. Do you think that Zechariah was praying for a child to arrive to them and this big, huge responsibility that they had on this day? I mean, wasn't there more that he was responsible to do when he went behind that curtain to that holy temple? And I would just ask you in this moment, because sometimes it distracts us, but it doesn't say that your prayer right now, today, in this moment. But I would ask you again, dear friends, how many times have we prayed for something for a long, long time? Where maybe it felt like routine because we can't count the many days, the weeks, maybe even the years that we've been praying for someone or a scenario or a situation or an event. And it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. I don't want to say the Lord doesn't answer prayer, because even if it's not what we want, it's still an answer. But has any of you ever been there where we just keep lifting up the same person, the same request, the same prayer, and it doesn't seem like we're getting what we want? Here's this moment where the angel says, the prayer of you and your wife Elizabeth of wanting a child has been heard, and you will have a child. And so it's interesting in this moment as well, because how many times, and we'll have to look back in the Old Testament here, how many times have we seen when the Lord is about to do something miraculous, when the Lord is about to do something, when God reaches into the lives of his people and decides to do a work, he does it in only a way that we can't give it to chance or circumstance scenario. We have no choice but to surrender that miracle to God, because God does it in such a way where there's no mistake that God's hand was involved. Why is this important? Because Elizabeth was barren. Let's take a look and see a couple other examples so we can see how God's reaching through here intentionally. We can go all the way back to the time of Abraham. Sarah couldn't have a child. She was barren. It was well documented. But then the Lord anoints her womb and she has Isaac. Look at all the wonderful blessings that come from this moment of God reaching down into someone's womb. We also see that then of Isaac and Rebekah having Jacob. We can see this again in Jacob and Rachel having Joseph. Several times in the Old Testament, these big stories, these great faithfulness, these great leaders that would rise up came from a barren womb, came from one that wasn't happening until the Lord anointed this place. And lastly, for just an example, we can see that a great prophet of the Old Testament, Samuel, had come from the barren womb of his mother Hannah. And so in this moment, we can see this herald that arrives, that prepares the way for the Lord, that talks about the repenting of sins, to pave the way, to draw attention to the arrival of the Messiah's ministry. And we see how important it was that the faithfulness of the parents, it said that they were upright in the sights of God, that they had left all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. It didn't mean that they were perfect, but it meant that they were doing the things every day, Zechariah and Elizabeth, to earn the Lord's favor. Similar as we can see Mary, right? That she was constantly seeking after the Lord's favor. And so the Lord honored that. And dear friends, I would ask you, especially when we have our children that are going to be doing their program tonight or going through here, we have that responsibility where they're our kids or they're just simply the church family. The kids have a promise, and they will have a duty one day to be raised up when it's their time. But some of that blessing will come in the way that they're raised and the things that they learn. Are you trembling a little bit yet? With the heavy responsibility that falls on all of us. Because the life and the support that we breathe into them, into each other, the Lord is at work when we are obedient and faithful and blameless to God's commandments. We might not necessarily be, maybe we are, but we don't have scripture saying that I'm a particular prophet or you're a particular prophet or any of us here are a particular prophet, but can we see on a lower scale? When we talked about our scripture verse for today that the kids learned and for all of us, and we heard the Johnson family talk about that there would be an arrival of John the Baptist as herald. Here's a prophetic scripture we don't always talk about this time of year. But dear friends, look how much care was put into the one that would come before Christ, that would draw attention to Christ. Now, this is a time we're looking historically that the Messiah has not arrived to us today. But dear friends, don't we have the good news that we live in a time the Messiah already came and the saving grace has already been done? We are bearers of the good news. We are the heralds that come as New Testament people to prepare the place for the returning Lord. Are you trembling yet of this responsibility that we are the voices? Would you agree that this world, whether we pick up a newspaper or we listen to it or we can see sometimes how other people treat each other or maybe somehow times how we treat each other, there's a lot of wilderness in our world. There's a lot of brokenness. The only name that can pierce that darkness and put the pieces back together is a name above all other names. Jesus. Jesus can heal and put pieces together in lives like no one else can. Remember, Jesus even healed when you reached out and touched him. Not when he said a special prayer over you, not when he touched you, not when he was in your presence, but a woman merely reached out and touched the cloths of his robe and power left him. That's the kind of Savior that we serve. My dear friends, as we are walking through this season of Advent, when we can appreciate the coming of the one who would prepare the way for the Lord, can we see our responsibility and holy privilege to do our part to prepare, to announce the arrival of the Christ child in this season, but the full-grown Savior, Messiah, on this cross, and the gift that never gets old, that never gets worn out, and it will be enough for all of us to be satisfied beyond comprehension. Would we be ready, prepare that way for the Lord in our lives, in our homes, in our community, in our church, and to this world? I hope that intimidates you. It intimidates me. But it's good news. So even if we don't know the details, he shared, right? It's good news when our friends come over. Isn't it good news when the people that we love and care about, our friends, when they come to know who Jesus is and how he loves us so much? There are people in our lives, in our world, whether we recognize their faces or not, they need this good news. Even if they don't realize that they need to hear this good news, it will pierce their hearts. How will they know? Dear friends, how will they know if we don't share it with them? At this moment, I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward as we bring our tithes and our offerings forward. Understand that for the Lord, we give from the blessings we've already received, and we trust that the Lord will always provide for our needs. And we give so out of joy. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Lord of generous abundance, Lord of provision, we offer these gifts to you. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings upon us, whether they are material or whether they are spiritual or anywhere in between. Lord, we give you thanks for all of them. We ask that you would bless these gifts that are brought before you today, that they would serve your will and your purposes, and they would honor you. Lord, you bless the houses from which they came and allow us to be good stewards of the resources we receive. In Christ's powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. All right, let us sing together the song of our faith in time of the season, number 217, Away in a Manger. 217. In this moment, in this Benedictus and this sending forth, we would just ask to remind ourselves when we think of all of ourselves, even of our advanced years, that we are all God's children, that lullaby would be for us. Lord, don't leave our side. Lord, be by us forever, we pray. In your presence, Lord, we'd ask that you give all of us eyes to see who you put in our path, eye to see the brokenhearted, eyes to see when there's opportunity for good news. We would ask that you would put in our hearts a compassion that comes after your will, that we would see and be ready to hear those, to spend time and share the good news of the arrival of the Christ child. And so we have a hope that will never be extinguished and never diminish. Lord, would you bless and keep us with all of your wisdom to be the people you've called to herald the arrival of the Messiah. Could we do this in the strength and the wisdom and power of the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lead us safely from this place? Amen.